Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese, and it's another week of American Tennis, and lots going on in the world of American Tennis. We're going to try to bring you an update with everything today, and we're hoping that we have a lot of callers for the show today. Area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853, and it's always open mic day at the American Tennis Program. Today we'll be discussing a lot about what's going on, not just in collegiate tennis, but in the whole American tennis realm, and as it affects everybody. If it affects college tennis, it affects all of us in every walk of life, whether you are a junior pro, junior player coming up, beginner who hopes to go to college one day, or if you're that player who has this necessary drive and everything that it takes to be a pro player, you absolutely need college. It is going to be a very, very informative day, and we just hope you'll stick with us for the entire hour. If you want to call in again, it's 714-583-6853, but this is the UR Tennis Network. Every week we have three great shows, actually four great shows now. And thanks to Jason Haynes, he has continued the UR Tennis Network, and it's bringing information to all of you. But Lisa Stone on Mondays at noon, you'll have Lisa Stone, the Parenting Aces program, and hats off to Lisa as she has now one of the top radio programs on American tennis, but also with her Parenting Aces website and her Parenting Aces Facebook. You can get some of the cutting-edge stuff. Lisa says it the way it is, and she's just that kind of a person, and you'll love it. Listen to her at noon on Mondays. 2 hours from right now, you will have Jason Haynes, and he's got the college connection. You always hear from the college coaches from around the country. J.P. Weber, of course, and I always talk about the We Coach Tennis hotline, the We Coach Tennis website, the We Coach Tennis Facebook. Now over 2,000 people on the We Coach Tennis Facebook, and you can get opinions and state your opinions from around the country on that Facebook, but also look at his J.P. Weber's website. It's very interesting. But the We Coach Tennis program on Tuesdays at noon as well. So there's a lot going on in the world of collegiate tennis. And before we get started, I wanted to mention to you always that our mission is for you to stand up and to speak out. And how dare any of us if we don't understand our First Amendment right, and those people who would hold that First Amendment right against us in any form by just trying to claim political correctness on us and or to just try to bully us into submission where we do not speak out. Remember, address issues, do not address people. And you folks, you can say pretty much anything you need to say. Just stay professional and do not be personal. But these are important times. These are important issues. We need to stand up and we need to speak out. It is our duty to do it. It's not just our right. It's our duty as Americans. And all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing, Edmund Burke says. And that's my favorite quote of all time. And as we see leaders, people in leadership positions, some are leaders, some are not. Some people, just because a person is in a position, it does not make them so. When I have young men working under me or young women working under me, they always ask, should I go take this job? Will it make me popular? Will it make me important? Will it make me rich? And always I say to them, look, you go in there and make something of that position, and you do the right work within your God-given skills with this position. Do not ever go to a position hoping that it will make you something different than you are. Wherever you go, you take yourself with you, whether it's a position in a lowly position or a higher position. I always say that, and I quote this very often, is that the wise man, wise woman, walks with the great into small and equal dignity, and they bring all of their God-given skills and try to make that position great. But we have a lot of leaders in leadership positions, we have some doggone good ones. And hats off to anybody that puts themselves in that realm where they stick their nose above the crowd and get shot at. Hats off to everybody who has the guts to do that nowadays, because people are much better at shooting than they are at sticking their nose above the crowd. And, you know, there's no heavier burden than a great opportunity. There's no heavier responsibility than having a leadership position where others are called, where you are called to do something that is beyond yourself. And great leaders, you can pick them out. Great leaders, they do things concerning others. They do things for the general, for everybody. They don't do things just to elevate themselves or play the politics just so that they can stay in leadership positions. Now, we're seeing this every day. Every day of our lives, we're seeing this now. We see it on the news and in our political arenas. We see it in the news and our business arenas. We see it in the news every day and even educational arenas. But in the tennis arena, it's more important than ever that we have people that stand up, speak out, and this is the mission of American tennis. Call again, 714-583-6853 today if you want to talk. My website is chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E.net. You can see my blogs, my writings, and also every American Tennis radio show that we have had over the last couple years. You can call them up from the computer files. It's the coolest thing in the world that these are now logged, and they will be for my children and my children's children, hopefully, unless they find out our stuff is too politically incorrect and they figure out that they don't want it anymore. They'll probably figure a way to erase it. But I'm not going to worry about that. We're going to speak up. I'm going to say what needs to be said. Folks, every week, again, these programs that are on, you need to tune into the We Coach Tennis. You need to tune in to Lisa Stone's Parenting Ace, and then you need to tune in to Jason Haynes' program as well. Folks, I'm going to start out with an email that I got from a coach here, and a couple days ago, and a lover of tennis, a lover of working with children and things. But I'm going to read it to you. Today's show, we're going to sort of set the table and try to explain to you why college tennis is just such a necessary ingredient. And if we don't honor the game, it will not honor us. It's that simple. How dare us think that we should change the greatest game in the world, the one that we ultimately play out of a love affair of many, many years. And if you're playing it or you're coaching it or whatever, for where it can take you, you will get stripped clean by those tennis gods. The tennis gods will not reward those who do not honor it. And it's just the way it is. And we've seen it with our youngsters. If our youngsters play to only for their own self evolution up some mountain, then they will get cut up, and we will as well. As coaches are leaders of this game. Anyhow, the letter goes, Coach Kreese, I've enjoyed the radio shows and always the passionate debates, the people you have on. I cannot believe what's going on with the NCAA scoring system that's being promoted by the ITA. I'm so thankful that it's been tabled. I'm unclear, given the the cabinet's recommendation, why NOAAD is now being pushed forward by the ITA for the fall events. I guess it meant yet another trial period. They've had three in a row without any consensus of coaches, of players, just the opposite. But my real clear reason for writing to see and that travesty that might occur from the dual match format. Now, format, folks, is different than scoring system. These are two different issues that should be treated as two different issues. To lump them together is sort of like pork in a legislation that Congress pushes forward or lawmakers push forward, and they sort of slide something in there. But this whole thing, the way it came up, was over a 2012, the just terrible time they had pulling off the NCAA tournament with 32 teams, and when it rained, and the NCAA officials, some of them went away, said, "Wow, it's just too long." Some of our teams were playing well. It wasn't anything else except we had 32 teams at the same side. Who does that? Nobody does that in team sports, but we have pushed it forward because we want men and women together, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not against that, but what the heck? 32 teams together, they ought to have maybe maximum of 8 or 16. But anyhow, this all came down. There were 10,000 votes against this, 10,000 signatures that a couple collegiate players up in Michigan put together in 2012 with the NCAA tabled at that time. And here it comes. It rears its head again. And we'll go into that a minute. But he talks about the format is different than the scoring system. They should not be lumped together. How you conduct a team format should not have bearing on the scoring system. People would not have so much pushback, ITA, if you daggone it, if you just understand the scoring system is what's sacred to our sport. And if you want a training tool or something, and for senior tennis or just for a club picnics or whatever, then maybe you can try experimental bastardizations of our most sacred heirloom, which is the scoring system. But basically, this is the third trial period. They tried, instead of doing something in 2012, what they did was they pushed forward for that year, abbreviated or shortened doubles matches, tiebreaker 7-all. Then the next year, last year, and we'll get to the vote of 21-19, but last year, they went a step further. But my real reason for writing, he says, that exists with the current format, I'm referring to these college matches that are not completed or the clinch rule, which means, folks, that once when you have a doubles match going on, a team doubles match, you put three out there and you win two out of three, you get 1 point. Well, you know what? they decided that third one doesn't matter if the team's up 2-0. Let's stop it. It doesn't matter if it's the toughest fought one. The other one could be 8-1 or 8-0. This one's 7-7-8. Doesn't matter. Again, it's entertainment or is it education here we're trying for our kids? I've heard you talk passionately about how no ad scoring and 8-game pro sets are completely ruining the development and educational aspect of our game. But I haven't heard you calling out the absolute embarrassment of a format that allows for the unthinkable to almost occur every time a Division One match is contested. The most grueling, competitive, exciting, hard-fought, is this guy saying it right or not? The grueling, competitive, exciting, and hard-fought and left unfinished matches with all the educational value on the line for the last minutes of the match are pulled off the table. Nothing is accomplished as far as the educational aspect. When I was told that this was occurring in college tennis, I was flabbergasted, to say the least, and this is the format that people are fighting so hard to maintain. They're trying to, the coaches now, the coaches are fighting so that they play these out. I don't know many coaches, administrators coach out there, my coach from Ohio, or I think you're from Ohio, administrators are fighting to get this thing over. The administrators, remember, your tournament directors, folks, are the administrators are the ones that want to run a smooth show. They just want it done. They don't care who wins, who learns, whatever. Oh, it's nice. Johnny had a good outing. Susie learned a lot today about being a good sport. We have a bunch of nice kids and referees that are happy as well. And we're not teaching our kids about competing, you know. And I was flabbergasted, to say the least, and this is the format that this ITA is fighting for. This is at least on the same level, if not worse, than the changes being presented and all the other changes presented. Why are the coaches not up in arms about this blemish on the face of college tennis? It absolutely makes no sense, completely renders illegitimate any rankings for the ITA. Now, let me explain this, folks. The University of Virginia, Coach Brian Boland told me that Mitchell Frank and their number four guy last year, call in if you're listening, Brian, tell me the last name of your number four guy. But he figured out in the ACC if they had the clinch going on. See, folks, they do the same thing in singles. So if the doubles is over, you call the match. In the singles, as soon as one team wins three singles matches, you cancel the others. Well, who the heck is left on the court? It's your toughest kids. It's your Mitchell Franks. It's this number four guy that always has to construct and work and learn how to work through matches, and you take all of his work. It might be 2 hours worth of work, and you say, whoops, stop, 5-1 in the third, you stop anyway, your match has no merit. This happened last year to Andrew Adams I don't think Josh would mind me minding this, All-American at the University of South Carolina. You know, Andrew Adams was up 5-1 in the third, and a coach stopped, and he stopped the match for his player. And basically, his player stalled the last 10 minutes of the match. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I put together some thoughts on potential compromise situations that may preserve the sacred parts of our tennis and addressing some of the chief concerns that might be able to shorten the format without basically messing up the rest of the thing. You know, he wants to hear my perspective. Well, let's go back and set the table, folks. We're going to do it here in a minute. We've got some switchboard, two or three people here already calling in. But we're going to go to a commercial, and then I'm going to set the table, and we're going to address this issue step by step by step today. On American Tennis is Chuck Creasy.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis. And over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
And we're trying to make them in America and make them the best we can. And college tennis is the most important venue that we have in American tennis. And let me talk a little bit about why. And most of us know this from the time a youngster starts playing tennis and they start going through the ranks, people start saying to the kids, you might be able to play college tennis. College tennis is this. Kids come out and play college tennis. College sports are a fantastic avenue in our society. But from junior tennis to the professional ranks, always in the United States, college tennis has been the necessary stepping stone. Now, that stepping stone has been moved out and way to the side in recent years for many, many reasons that we're going to discuss. But primarily, juniors are not allowed to compete with college players. College players are not allowed to compete with professional players in many of the arenas. They're working towards being able to have some of these interactions. But basically, college has been pushed out to the side. And with the overregulation and under-inspiration and all of the things that have happened to college tennis, the dumb-down of college tennis, it's not turning out the pros as it once was. But let's talk about the NCAA ruling 2 weeks ago. And I've got right before me the report of the NCAA Division I championships by their committee. Now, folks, we were number 40, I heard, on the NCAA cabinet list. Number 40. Now, wait a minute. They've got football and all of the stuff that goes on with all of the revenue sports, but for them to take the non-revenue sport of tennis, or what they call the Olympic sport of tennis, and say that they're going to do something about it, we just thought it was dead in the water, a chance that we just thought the ITA would have their way and push this thing through. But there was tremendous backlash, tremendous outcry by players. Mitchell Frank himself had a website. You know, went on his own and had a website or signed at 1,348 signatures against no ad scoring. They had the ITA had their own poll by colleges. They had 81% say they were against it for singles, 85% saying they were against it for doubles. So you would think that the ITA would just pull back, but they have dug their heels in and tried to mandate this and push it down our throats. So going to the NCAA cabinet, there must have been a tremendous amount of letters. I know for a fact, too, that Coach Lynn Loring got a petition that just basically, listen, isn't this fair, folks? Wouldn't this just be fair? In order to make a change, we need a two-thirds majority. Wouldn't that be fair on something as principled as our scoring system, something as sacred as our scoring system? Wouldn't that be fair? I mean, all that he was asking for was a two-thirds majority. 192 coaches said, yeah, that sounds right. You cannot believe the backlash that Lynn Loring got from representatives and some certain people, higher-ups, and on the committees that he has served for 40 5 years diligently. 45 years he has served college tennis, and he got tremendous, tremendous slamming on this. It's awful, 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 awful. Everybody needs to write him a thank you note for what he did and what he stands for. And this man is a great man because all he's asking for is a two-thirds majority. Here we go, though. The cabinet tabled a proposal that included several changes designed to reduce the length of matches in Division I men's and women's tennis. Specifically, no action was taken on the recommendations of the ITA to implement no-ad scoring in all elements of the championships. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't that include the ITA? Doesn't that include the ITA, but they're playing it out of their tournament? We've got three letters in the period of 6 days. We've got three letters by the head of the ITA directing us, all of us, to play no-ad scoring, and some coach are quivering in their tennis shoes saying, oh, I better play no-ad. They might not count us. The ITA does not run tennis for colleges. The ITA is a coaches' organization. Everybody remember that from the up front. Just like the USTA cannot tell the ITA what to do, the USTA cannot tell the ITA or the NCAA what to do. The NCAA cannot tell them, and they're basically all independent entities. Implementation of the no-ad scoring in all elements of the championships, eliminate the warm-ups with the opponents in the dual match component. Again, one is a format, the other one is scoring. In the dual match, play three doubles consisting of one set to six games with a tiebreaker at six all and singles and doubles. Play the doubles championship, and then clinch means you stop. And I don't see that in here about the clinch, but that is one that really has every coach upset. Play the doubles championship best of three matches with a tiebreaker in lieu in doubles, and this is in the doubles championship matches. That means that the tournaments, they were going to play full sets, no ad, but play a tiebreaker for the third set. Are you kidding me? So anyhow, they stuck that one in. I didn't even see that recommendation about the no ad and then the third set tiebreaker for individual tournament. Awful. In tabling the recommendation, the cabinet requested that surveys be soliciting feedback from student, athlete, and coaches be administered by the men's and women's committee. Okay, so they're asking for feedback. What? They've been getting feedback. Haven't they heard, hadn't the ITA already heard some? But I love that the NCAA is asking them to go out and see what kids want and what the coaches actually want. In addition, the cabinet indicated the cabinet would be more inclined to support the recommendation if consensus was developed within the tennis community, particularly among coaches of women's teams. That must refer to the 192 coach pushback. The cabinet recommended additional discussion ensuring consistency of formats for regular and postseason thing. We've had consistency for 100 years. The scoring system is not a format. We can change formats. Let's not change the scoring system. Got a couple callers here. We'll come to you here just in a second. I want to just go back about college tennis. Now, the pro development has been completely influenced by college programs forever since college tennis started. Back in the 60s, you had players like Dennis Ralston who would won the NCAA championship, I think he was about 65. He flew to Wimbledon. I think he got to the finals and doubles of Wimbledon or something. You had this all the time. You had John McEnroe coming back to college after he made the semifinals at Wimbledon as a qualifier. So college has always been looked at as that stepping stone. Why? Because it's an arena. You have multiple levels of competition. It teaches you to overcome tremendous obstacles. The resilience you need is taught by college programs. Let's talk about the facilities. Let's talk about the coaching. Let's talk all the things that you learn through being on a team. All of these things have been great training tools for professional tennis. But we're not doing so well now, folks. We have now only three players in the men's side that went to college and made the top 100 women. It's been 20 years since Lisa Raymond was the mainstay out there from the University of Florida. It's been 20 years on the women's side. We do have the Georgia Tech NCAA champion, Falcone girl, who's who's out there now still fighting. And there are instances like that, but it's not the norm that it once was. And there's reasons for that. First of all, it's extremely hard to be a great tennis player. In the old days, clubs did it for to a certain extent. If you look at the racket club out in L.A. that was so popular, and just we had pockets around the country where players developed and coaches coached people to excellence. Clubs became, just like everything else, a moneymaker, and so it wasn't about training great players anymore. It was about the turning of the money and basically having as many kids as you can. So it became a participation event instead of training for a professional sport. Academies took over in the early 80s, and you know I don't like academies out of the blocks. I think they're okay if you have they're in a local situation. Like you have up there at College Park, Maryland, that's such a great one, you know, because kids in the same tennis neighborhood go there to train, and I think that they're great for that reason if you do, but for kids to be uprooted from their families from Nebraska or Virginia or Indiana or Michigan and they have to go to Florida to the academy, I don't think that's good. The kids can't, in the end, don't develop the inside skills. Basically, a message is your tennis is more important than our family. And all those things we discussed last week with Lawrence Roddick on the program. Individual coaches seem to be doing a great job, but it's extremely expensive. There's lots of regulations to get through, and it's just really, really hard. You better have a good bankroll if done with individual coaches. USTA, it's doing its best. But a bureaucracy, top-down management, cannot make champions, folks. Systems do not make champions. Incentivizing your kids is what makes champions. So college has always been the deal. And what we've done to college is no less than pathetic, dumbing down, over-regulation, I mean, how can we say it? What has killed college tennis? It's not format. It's for not addressing the issue with international students in the late 80s, early 90s, and it got completely out of hand. If you want to really know how out of hand it got, there was a time where we had over 80 players ruled ineligible for being professionals in the mid-1990s, and the NCAA basically came in instead of addressing it and getting those guys out of here who had been pros. They basically said, "Oh, well, let's give a three-match penalty, and maybe you have to give back your money." And basically, they opened the floodgates. They just didn't address it. It was too big of a thing. And so we didn't address this. And so therefore, now your top 50 kids in America do fine, but below the top 50, you're competing with 100 other countries in the world who, by the way, send recruiters to American colleges, who give basically sometimes trips to coaches, and by the time a coach does all this stuff, they have to sort of take one of their kids, and you see what we've got today. And the reason colleges are being dropped, it's not format, again, it's for not addressing these, and it's for not just really addressing the issue where we could put some kind of, I believe what J.P. Weber says, I'm not a socialist program where we go against American way of free enterprise and everything, but by golly, we should sure be incentivizing those teams that do all Americans. And by the way, if you go to his website, We Coach Tennis, he put a challenge out. He said, one of our rich donors need to be given $100,000 to the first coach who can win the NCAA championship with all American kids. And so, but this was one of the problems. Overregulation in 92 is what killed the American tennis college scene in many ways for the development of players. I heard a coach say one time, he says, would like to groom players, but we can't break them down to build them up anymore. You just have to build them up, work with what you got, and just try to put whatever you can on that foundation they already have. And we all know that that's a a disaster waiting to happen when you can't really break the kids down to build them up as a coach. You really do need to work with the inside of the kids first. You got to work with the emotions, then the mind, then the body. We work with the bodies and hope that it'll sort of translate to the mind and the emotions. And that doesn't work. So, you know, college, 92 was bad also with the time restrictions. It was bad with also the practice restrictions, the match restrictions, and all of the regulation. Basically, coaches said, hey, let's go out and get some foreign players here and see what we can do and take our chances, roll the dice, and we could be mediocre. And you can, now we're just getting the fruit of our non-labor with what's going on. No place to go for American men players, no place to go. We'll have kids ranked 4 or 5 in our state that don't get scholarships, and that's awful. Could you imagine a kid in any other sport being 4 or 5 in the state of football and not being able to get a scholarship? On the women's side, listen, Title IX was not set up for foreign women. It was set up for American girls. So the pathway that college tennis used to be really is really broken down. It's really broken down. And the hoops that are you have to jump through are just incredible. Now, we're going to read a little bit more of what the response was to the MDTA, because, you know, the ITA did not back off, folks. The ITA came forward after the cabinet spearmined and said, look, you guys need more stuff. We need to go forward. That regular scoring system, traditional scoring system, and they didn't put this in it, but traditional scoring system has been the norm for years and years and years. And for you guys just to go out and say, we're going to just try this, careers on the line, coaches' jobs are on the line. So basically, college has really been hurt. We've got a caller on the line here. I'm going to go to area code 347-515. Caller, are you on the line there? Caller, area code 347. Okay, it's not coming up here. I'll call area code 678. 678. Area code 678-467. Are you there?
We're here.
Okay.
We're here.
Who's this?
Hello?
Oh, is this this is Coach J.P. Weber. Coach Weber, you got some people listening in there today, I guess. What kind of questions you got? I've got to go through some more of this legislative stuff and explain what's been going on this week. But what kind of comments or questions you have?
Well, what kind of formats are you talking about going to?
Well, you know, that's a good – here's the point. I'm not talking about going to any format. I think that one of the things that has been a weakness for those who are battling against this ITA thing is not recognize the ITA has put – what do you call this, the pork on the end of their format argument. The pork is that we changed the scoring system, we changed the format. Well, format and scoring system are two different things. I wouldn't be completely against a different format. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be against at all splitting the seasons, playing team match in the fall, whatever you want to do, but keep the individual format in the spring sacred. So what do you say?
Well, how does that save? They're obviously concerned about saving time for one reason or another.
Back up. That has been their talking point. This is not a time sport. This is like a baseball game. You play it to completion. And so I think that has been a ruse. If you want to look, we've already told them if you want a TV format, just do a TV format. That's ridiculous. If you just want a TV format. They're saying this time. Let's cut back time. Well, you know what? Fine for anybody on TV, but for the 97% of the people never even get a look at a TV or having their match on, let's keep the integrity of the game an educational enterprise. What do you say?
Well, yeah, I think what you say is true. I believe that. Let me ask you on another note. You were sort of espousing your ideas of what it means to be leaders. Can they not say that they're doing that very thing themselves, that they're going to get, they're stepping up, doing what they think is right somehow? How are they probably maybe misguided on this, or is there some ulterior?
That's a great question. And listen, number one, he hung up, so I get to speak here. The big thing, coercive leadership is quite a different than real leadership. Coercive leadership is where you mandate things and you force people to follow. Bureaucracies do this, whether it is the ITA, USTA, or others. Coercive leadership means my way or the highway, basically. This is what is the most outrageous thing. And yeah, okay, they're in leadership positions, and we do have some very, very fine people there working hard and work for years, like a Lynn Loring. However, the point being is that with coercive leadership that they have used, they have tried some persuasive. Now they're backed up and they're using persuasive leadership. They are trying very, very hard to persuade people to sign on that this is really a good format. They're trying with Facebook and different things with players to say, hey, I really like no ad scoring. Well, the point is it's coercive and persuasive leadership. That's not real leadership. Real leadership is leadership by action, leadership by example, and people want to follow you out of choice, not because they have to. So, yeah, I would argue that this is leadership, and I have Coach Weber back on there. So, Coach Weber, what do you say?
Sorry, I dropped it. Is there something more besides just the style of leadership? Is there some other incentive that is pushing this? I think there's deeper. You know, we've talked about it on my show, and I've talked to different people. I think there's more behind when you peel the level of the onion back or the layers of the onion back. There's more to it.
Yeah, without a doubt, there, Coach. And, Coach, here's the thing, and you called it who's driving the bus, and I think that's a good incentive for you with your programs, because nobody knows who's driving the bus. It's just an entity, this committee, that committee, and whatever. But we need leaders to step up. This is my mandate. This is my directive, whatever. And I think we'd have more respect for them. But they're saying they're using a ruse of, hey, we're doing it to save college tennis, to get it on TV. Well, it's what's going to save college tennis is not that. We have to open up, which brings me to the point, the next point. I don't want to go to commercial here yet. I want to talk a minute about what greatness comes from. Greatness comes from each and every individual's heart. It is not about system. It's not about USTA. It's not about ITA. It's not about college tennis. It's not about parents. It's not about what happens to you. It's what happens in you. And this is the critical thing. I got a little formula I'd like to share with all of you. I do this with parents all the time, but over the years I've given talks that said it's three ingredients: ability, desire, opportunity. God-given ability, opportunities given by parents, and then the desire of the individual. And I draw this chart, and I put a little 1 to 10 marker here, like a little thermometer, and I go on a scale of 1 to 10, how much God-given ability here? And the parents said, well, maybe an 8. And then I said, well, okay, how much how much opportunity are you giving? Oh, we're giving him a 9. Now, I want to tell you before, the magic number I've come up with over the years of coaching is 23 to 25. If your youngster has a 23 to 25, you know, we like to quantify stuff, but this is just, I'm saying this is quantification by Coach Creasy. 23 to 25, you got a shot. You have to have 23 to 25. But ability, desire, opportunity, so this parent says, okay, I give him an 8 as far as his ability, God-given ability. My opportunities, I give him everything. I give him a 9, okay? How much is his desire? Oh, my coach, he's only a 4 or a 5. Buzz, not good enough. That 4 is only a 21. 5 is only a 22. You got to have 23 to 25, sir. With a number 8 in ability and a number 9 as far as opportunities getting, he's got to have a 7 anyway. A 7 would help. If they got a 9, he's going to go to the moon with ability and desire. So what I do is I use all three of these in the equation. You know, psychologists will say, or sociologists say, oh, it's always about opportunity. It's who you surround yourself with. It's nature. Okay, no. The geneticist or physiologist or geneticist will say, no. It's all about ability. It's all about, nurture and nature. They'll say it's all about nature. But psychologists say, no, it's all about self. It's all the psychology of the individual. Really, it's all three of them, isn't it, folks? On a scale of 1 to 10, rate your child. Rate your child of how much God-given ability he has, how much opportunity he has, how much desire he has. Oh, I could use Coach Weber. I don't think he would mind. I'd use his son. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, that kid ability-wise, wow, he's got jets as far as legs and feet. He can move. Hand-eye coordination. He's intent. I love the what God has given him. Something special there. Opportunity, yeah. Coach Weber's given him an 8 or 9. He's around it all the time. And then let's talk real quick about the boy's desire. The desire is through the roof, too. And that boy's not going to burn out. If you're listening to this, Coach Weber, that young man is not going to burn out because he's got fire in the tank, left enough. Even on his bad days, he's going to be in fire. So it's in air incentive. Coach Steve Bellamy called. I'm going to get another call here real quick before I go. I'm going to try that area code 347-515. Are you there, caller? 347. Okay. Not through the caller. 347. Are you there? Okay, he's not picking up. Okay, I'll come back to Coach Weber here in a second, but I want to talk. Steve Bellamy sent around an interesting email this week. He said, look, on the about all these things, facilities, equipment, coaching, speed, strokes, all these things, what are the most important thing? I put down the most important ingredient. Now, I could quote the one of the best things I've ever heard was Clarence Mabry in 1980 saying, it's the hunger of an inquisitive mind, the hunger. But I sent a thing back to Bellamy. I said, look, it's basically when people hate losing enough, they learn how to win. You only win to the level you cannot stand losing down to. The one ingredient that people have to have is they have to hate losing. But if they can enjoy winning and hating losing, they have a championship mentality. Look, folks, if you hate losing, don't love winning, you're going to be the ratchet athlete. You go 2 steps forward, 2 steps back. You've got to be able to pat yourself on the back. We produce roller coaster athletes in our society. They like winning. They don't hate losing. So you get skewed results. You get results all over the place. They beat great players and then lose to weak players. If you don't hate losing and you don't love winning, folks, you better take up another sport. Go to bowling, go to something else that is not as competitive as tennis. This is a frustrating sport. This is the toughest sport of any in the world. Folks, I wanted to keep you up now with all that we've got going on in college tennis. The dumbing down of the scoring system is about the worst thing that we could ever do. This is completely a knee-jerk action by the ITA. It's the wrong tree to try to climb. It's absolutely wrong. We definitely, I think all of the coaches that stepped up and are trying to stand out have claimed somewhat victory in trying to put this off. But there was a message we sent out, and we just basically said we wanted to send a heartfelt thank you to each and every coach and student athlete that wrote letters, sent messages to the NCAA cabinet over the 4, 5, or 6 weeks. There's nothing more important that we can do to contribute to the process of upholding the standards and traditions of our great sport of collegiate tennis. So many people stepped up to express these things that the leaders in power understood the whole magnitude of the thing. The NCAA cabinet just did their job, and there wasn't enough to push it forward at this time. I know the ITA is hoping they'll push it forward in the meeting in February. We need to be there and be able to stand up. The action led to abbreviating scoring system being stopped, even though tennis is such a small bag of beans compared to some of the major things that they have to do. There's a few things, though, that are disconcerting, and I want to bring these up and see if I get two more callers just call. The protocol used for tennis over many years has been to play traditional scoring for NCAA events and fall tournaments as well. During these times, there's been fair flexibility for two coaches who are in agreement to play experimental formats if they desired. This has always been a policy. Without any policy change, the last two winters, TA has reversed and mandate this experimental format without talking to people for the first 6 weeks of 2013 and 14. Their stipulation has been the two coaches now agree, if they agree to play traditional scoring, they can go back to traditional scoring, but you must play our mandated format of abbreviation, except for the kickoff and national indoors, where abbreviating scoring was mandated. And even this week out in Tulsa, there is no say-so, no discussion if coaches want to play, if they want to play regular scoring. Terrible, terrible that they would go against this. The latest progression by the ITA is now to use only abbreviated scoring format for fall events and other options or... This is an egregious abuse to the ITA's influence over our coaches and players, regardless whether their power is actual or only perceived. Is it perceived? Yes. They've been in power, in their power, for in their ivory tower of power. They've been in that for now 30, 35 years, and we've been on this scoring rampage for 25 years, and yeah, I blame college tennis for not doing their job and stepping up and developing players. Yeah, we can look, and USTA is finally figuring out that they can't do it alone. They can't develop the next champions down in Boca or somewhere without the help of a great collegiate system and the pressure that kids need for multitudes of kids being trained in an excellent way. It's not about participation. Participation does not breed excellence, but excellence will always breed participation. And with overregulation, we squelch excellence, and therefore participation dies as well. We must remember that the ITA is a coaches organization where paid membership allows each school that joins them support services within the limited parameters of their power. Unless we have had a misrepresentation, a misinterpretation of the action of the NCAA cabinet. Traditional scoring format is still the norm for NCAA collegiate tennis. Any deviation from this or use of abbreviated scoring should be with agreement of two coaches or more, and this should be rigid. This rightfully should be enforced, and any change difference in this should be 2/3 majority of men's and women's coaches. Our intent is to keep you informed with this. Now, it's really important that the byproduct of the 12 months of discussion, really 18 months of discussion and the differences of opinion, intense interaction both for the coaches and the players have stepped up and have demanded to be listened to. This is what we need to do, folks. The MDTA, Men's Division I Tennis Association, was set up for this to give a voice, and that's what we are proposing. In this letter, it says, let's get on with multiple other issues like a better vision for marketing our sport, a defined plan for splitting seasons, proactive plan for those teams that have been dropped and those already dropped and those that are on the cutting edge or in the chopping block. The thing about this whole cabinet ruling was that within 3 days, on the 10th, on the 15th, and on the 19th, that's 9 days, David Benjamin, the executive director at ITA, sends out a letter, and it's basically the same letter. The same says no ad scoring has to be used in all fall matches. Next one, no ad scoring has to be used in all the fall matches. He sent a disclaimer, and this next one said sometime there might be other important considerations. And then here's another one. And then here, wait a minute, no ad. All of them say the same thing. I mean, I think that the first time would have been enough. Why continue to hit everybody with a hammer over and over and over and over again? What am I missing, folks? What am I missing out there Here I'm going to go to caller area code 347. Are you on the line? Coach 347. Let me go to area code 678. Okay, Coach Weber, I got you. Coach Weber,
hey,
man,
how you doing?
Set the table, have I set the table enough?
Yeah, you set the table, but you're dancing around. Look, to me, the whole thing is a lot of this tennis is
Coach,
so
wait,
corrupt.
Wait. First of all,
around.
I'm a very bad
it's
dancer.
Corrupt.
I'm a bad dancer. Go ahead. Okay. What?
It's corrupt.
Go ahead.
It's corrupt. There's so many things involved in tennis that are corrupt. The way that the money is distributed, you know, you came out of a public park. Emory came out of a public park. I go through Simmons. You go through all the great coaches. Go through many coaches they've supported and been a part of public parks. Public parks don't get the money. They end up giving money to the BB&T championships. Every year we lose, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of dollars at the BB&T championships that the USGA puts in to subsidize. They subsidize world team tennis. You look at it all the time. We have a thing here in Atlanta. C.J. Jones is part of that, and she does Atlanta Serves. Does the money go to that thing where it's helping underprivileged kids? No. It goes to people and things that already have money. And you know what I'm talking about. You just work in a place that
coach,
where they got $800,000 a year.
Coach, isn't this the nature of bureaucracies, whether it's the federal government, whether it's local government, whether it's school systems run by government, you know, whether it's the ITA, the USTA, isn't this the nature of bureaucracies to try to create systems?
Yeah, but you can have bureaucracies that are at least a little bit clean and organized, you know, and maybe do it on the above board. The USTA is not clean and above board. I think they do a lot of things.
Coach, wait a minute.
They're corrupt.
Would you say, wait a minute, there's some great people working for the USTA?
Yeah, I suppose they are.
Yeah, they sure are. There's some bad people probably working for every organization.
But the system corrupts the people. You have good people that get corrupted. You know, I know guys, and you know people that are on a committee that they've been on there so long and they've been pushed to one side or ignored or this or that they end up compromising their views and values just, you know, and now they're just staying on the committee. It's a corrupt system.
But that's the nature of bureaucracies. That's my point, is that systems and bureaucracies cannot make excellence. You know, I mean, come on, look at our federal government. They can't just go over to your DMV, you know, and try to get something done. Just talk to any federal government employee. Are you going to find somebody inspired to do excellent work there? You will find great people, but the system dumbs down. So basically what I wanted to say, and the whole point is that all of us, we can't rely on the USTA to make a great player. We can't make any situation cannot. It is up to that individual, but we need to stress entertainment over education over entertainment. Go ahead.
Right, but that's why I've pushed forever that in our country it works best not having it centralized. It works best letting the individual coaches, the parks, the places, and all of these things. It works best in our country, letting the market system work, letting things win out. That's where everybody at the bottom wins.
You're
but
saying
when
we
you
need capitalism. We need a capitalist form of achievement for tennis, socialist.
I think it's the most fair. Look. Is it possible that China would be able to come up with a different and better system, or Czechoslovakia, or where, I don't know, one of the Eastern Bloc, Czechoslovakia doesn't exist anymore, but an Eastern Bloc country, you know, could come up with a centralized way of doing it and beat us? I would say yes, but I probably would prefer, and I think most people would prefer, to be in our system where you have the freedom. You know what I mean? To be able to do
freedom.
Because in those systems, I guarantee you they're going to take you away from your home. They're going to do a whole lot of things that really, in the end, it's short-sighted. Look, Sweden, all these other countries that led back in the 80s and did the kind of stuff, they've kind of fizzled too. And
they
I think
went
what
away.
Happens is, yeah, they went away because you know, what ends up happening is the people aren't incentivized for a long period of time
exactly.
to be in that.
Exactly. And, okay, Coach, we're about out of time here. About out of time here. I don't want to cut you off. You are right on the money. Right on the money. It is about education. Remember, folks, that excellence will always breed participation and popularity. Popularity and participation will not necessarily breed excellence. You know, and the point with it is that if you search for excellence and you put the carrot out there and you say, go get it, folks, figure it out. We overregulate at the start, and then what we do, we have vague rites of passage. We need to let everybody in the game and say, go get this goal, go get this, and no matter how where you're coming from or what, go after this is the prize. And then what we need is stringent rites of passage that separate the strong from the weak and let the cream rise, and NOAD scoring, abbreviated bastardized scoring system. All these things they're trying to do for popularity, how dare them not honor the game of tennis, folks. If we honor it, it will honor us.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, fine high on the farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Made in America.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And look, folks, making them in America means that everybody and anybody has, we all have equity. That means we all have equal chance. That's big. But let's not always want equality where we think we all have to have the same starting place. No, we got the same chance. That's it, folks. Equity, not equality. And with that, let's open it up. Everybody goes after these prizes. Everybody goes after these prizes, and the cream will rise, and we'll be on top again. And God bless you. We'll see you next week on American Tennis.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.